Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 244, the stanzas 2 and 4. Each succeeding generation by thy mighty word appears. Thou dost count in time's duration, one day as 1,000 years. Death was swift and sudden warning, calls us from life's dream away. Like the grass green in the morning, withered ere the close of day, and what follows. Psalter 244, the stanzas 2 and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 3. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 3. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou wast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most holy, most righteous, majestic, glorious, good-doing and merciful God, then thou wast granted that by renewal we may come up to thy house And then by renewal we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee. And then it is also needful that we receive profound impressions that thou art a sovereign God. And then we and our children would do well under thy word, under thy callings, that we may be given to seek to be reconciled with thee. But, O Lord, we have fallen, and our fall is deep indeed. Dead in sins and trespasses, deluded, smitten with blindness, a stony heart, and, O Lord, if thou dost not rescue us and look down in thy mercy and work by thy Spirit, then we are forever undone, forever lost. Lord, do spare us and our children from overly being discouraged, to become careless, but that we may be given to earnestly seek thee while thou mayest be found. Then we may be greatly privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth. And how terrible it shall be to go lost under such a gospel. To that end, Lord, then we humbly beg of thee that in this evening hour that thou may dwell richly amongst us. May it please thee to go from bench to bench and from heart to heart those that are still so unconverted. May they become so. In this evening hour, those that are resting upon false foundations, may it be uncovered, and poor beggars, seekers, wilt thou grant something for their soul in this evening hour, grant further instruction for thy people. Do bind the seriousness, the solemnity, the shortness of our life upon all our hearts, and the certainty of death, of judgment, and of eternity. May it be our prayer with the man of God. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. Different places, different circumstances, different places upon the earth. And then wilt thou be mindful of our denomination in this week, where important meetings have been planned, where the mission board hopes to meet do gather with us, and may it all be for the welfare of that people that need the same thing as we and our children, that it may prosper in thy hand, and also the General Senate, which hopes to meet for 2 days. May thy holy word be our guide. Grant light thereupon. Bind together around the old truths and around the old ways. May it please thee that there may yet be those sires on their knees begging for thy indispensable blessing, and that thou may remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Then by renewal, then we remember the many temporal needs. Oh, do remember the mourning family, father and mother, brothers and sisters, grandparents, and the extended family. Do uphold them. Remember the father with his injury, and that the calling may be richly sanctified. Remember all the mourning ones in our midst. We remember the elderly ones. Remember our care home, the residents, those that may care for them. Ah, Lord, also a special calling for them. May it be applied. May it be used as an arrow for the unconverted and their old hearts, to arrest them and to save them. Do remember all the sick and afflicted ones. The little daughter in the hospital, oh, do continue to care for her, to spare her, and that the means may be blessed. And do uphold father and mother. Lord, it is a family that has experienced many a trial. Remember the father who was awaiting test results with the indication what has been planned. Do grant him a special place at thy footstool, that they may be given to cry unto thee with all other sick and afflicted ones, all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones, the crosses and the burdens. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for help and for strength in this evening hour, and that divine realities may be impressed upon all of our hearts, and to be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. Oh, Lord, do come down with thy Holy Spirit. Grant a richer outpouring Leave and forsake us not. May all the callings be used, that we may be given to repent of our evil and worldly ways, whereby the Spirit is grieved. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Bind the devil. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 14, the stanzas 3 through 7. When I regard the wondrous heavens, thy handiwork on high, the moon and stars ordained by thee, oh, what is man, I cry, and what follows? Psalter 14, the stanzas 3 through 7.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 3, the question and answer 6, 7, and 8. Question 6, did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Answer, by no means. But God created man good and after his own image. In true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God, his Creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise him. Question 7. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? Answer, from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Question 8. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Answer, indeed we are. Except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Lord's Day number 3 speaks of the cause of the misery of man. 4 thoughts. First, the good creation of man. Secondly, the deplorable fall of man. Thirdly, the miserable incapability of man. And fourthly, the only hope for man. The cause of the misery of man, the good creation of man, the deplorable fall of man, the miserable incapability of man, and in the fourth place, the only hope for man. Beloved congregation, in the last Lord's Day, we have heard the condition, the state of man. And then in the last question, it was asked, canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Answer, in no wise, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor enough to make us very sad, very discouraged. And now concerning Lord's Day number 3 and Lord's Day number 4, what a questions there can be in the hearts of young and old. And then in this Lord's Day, we even have the thought of one that is it now possible that all our misery, that it flows forth from God, then it is possible, very likely, that in the past week, that there have been children, young people, we shall leave the older ones lie, but that they have been upset and perhaps a little angry with the Lord, what the Lord has done, that perhaps you have thought many others in the world never open their Bible, never go to church, never pray, and they may still be here. And then, of course, we know those thoughts are wrong, but young and old, where does it now all bring us? We have heard the all-important question, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? Have we been busy with that question when we have heard of the sudden death? Have we examined our hearts, how it is concerning that comfort? How is it with our hearts? Job, under his deep tribulations and loss, was given to say to his friends, in Job 23, verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft. Have our hearts been humbled? Have we become small? And then Job has added, and the Almighty troubleth me. Are there people in God's house in this evening hour that are troubled? Because they are not troubled, make so little impression, seems that we can continue on and that we are not shaken so easily. The Lord Jesus Christ, oh, the Jewish people, a privileged people, no other people upon the earth as them. And Jesus has preached as no preacher has preached, has done so many miracles. And then in Luke 7, the verses 31 and 32, then Christ has said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? Thus Jesus was saying that there was not another generation so many privileges and so many blessings, and the Lord sends so many callings. And then he has compared them They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. That is the gospel. And when those children did not join them, then they have pretended there was a funeral. And then Jesus has said, ye have not wept. Then it is very well possible, and I hope so, that there may be souls deeply troubled. But then it is also the danger that we become overly discouraged. And when we glance inward, when we read this Lord's Day, then there is no hope and expectation, because dead sinners of themselves, they shall never become alive. But then in the last answer, there is an accept, and that is the work of free and sovereign grace. To that end, for encouragement, then we do well to read of the times where the Lord has wrought so richly and so wonderfully. When we think of the times of Jonathan Edwards in 1741, he was given to write that he believed that the Lord was working in the hearts of four of his children. It was a privileged family, they tell us, that in his congregation, that Jonathan Edwards and his wife Sarah was the only family blessed with 11 children, was the only father and mother which had all their children in the land of the living. But also for the family of Jonathan Edwards, there came a time that many messengers have come. 1757, the daughter Jerusha has taken care of the Lord's servant, the missionary David Brainerd, with a certain attachment. They both had a hope that they would meet in heaven. And a year later, then the oldest daughter of Jonathan Edwards was taken away by death. And the same year, Jonathan Edwards was, when vaccinations came out, he saw it as a means, was the cause of his death. And then when the physician has sent a letter to Sarah, I have brought it along, what she has written to her oldest daughter, who became a widow so early with two little children. What shall I say? A holy and good God has covered us with a dark cloud. Oh, that we may kiss the rod and lay our hands on our mouths. The Lord has done it. He has made me to adore His goodness that we had Him so long. But my God lives and He has my heart. But then there was also a younger sister. She has also included a little letter. Listen, boys and girls. Then she has written to her older sister, oh, sister, how many calls have we, one upon the back of another? Oh, I beg your prayers that we, who are young in this family, may be awakened and excited to call more earnestly on God, that He would be our Father and friend forever. May the Lord grant such prayers in our midst for the wonderful and the mighty works of the Lord. We read in question 6, did God then create man so wicked and so perverse? What a thought. Even to think that such a holy, such a righteous, and such a good-doing God could be the cause of all of our misery. Then in this Lord's Day, then there is an examination concerning the last answer, what we have heard from Lord's Day 2, that man by nature is prone to hate God and his neighbor. What is the cause? Then, boys and girls, when you do not feel well and your parents take you to the doctor, then the doctor shall undoubtedly ask many questions. Where you have been, what you have eaten, what you have drank, what you have done, where the pain is. And so in our Lord's Day, then there is an examination concerning the deep and deplorable depravity of man. Where is the cause? Would it be possible? Of course, in our day, where in general society has departed so far from the truth and from God's word, where great multitudes do not believe in God's creation, believe in evolution. But oh, what a foolish thought, more desire that there is no God. Because if there is no God, then we are not accountable. And then there is no judgment, and man can do what he wants. Congregation, are you glad that there is a God? Or do you actually wish that there is no God? Let me ask you, how do you live? Can it be seen in your life? Can it be seen when we come up to God's house that there indeed is a God so majestic, so glorious, so holy, so righteous, and so good doing. Whence did God then create man so wicked and perverse? The answer is clear, by no means. But God created man good. We read, after the first 5 days, each time by renewal, that God saw everything that he had made, and it was good. But after the sixth day, after he has created man, then it is written, it was very good. Created in the image of God, not an express image, that is the Son of God, because I read in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. But when we speak of the image of God, then it is an image of resemblance. And we read thereof in Genesis 1, the verses 26 and 27, that God made man in his image after his own likeness. And that image consists, young people, you know it, and hopefully all the older ones, in knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness. And then we read, and after his own image, in true righteousness and holiness. Oh, that knowledge, that he knew God in his perfections, evident with Adam, has given animals their names, Eve also her name, a sufficient knowledge. No, mankind can never know God to its full extent. An Eli who has declared in Job 36 verse 26, God is great and we know him not. But an Adam and Eve was given to know God, that they may perfectly serve and glorify him. And the instructors, in a few words, that he might rightly know God, his Creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise him. That was the purpose of creation. Oh, young and old, what a perfect creation. What a beautiful creation. The jewel of creation, wherein Adam and Eve were given to walk with a holy delight and a holy joy, given to most perfectly glorify their Creator and their benefactor. In paradise before the fall, no cares, no fears, and no division, and no mourners, but has not remained our second thought, the deplorable fall of man. And that is a deep fall indeed, a fall from perfect communion, perfect blessedness, perfect happiness, perfect rejoicing. They were given to walk with their God. But now we have fallen into the deepest misery, come under a threefold death, whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature. Answer: from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve in paradise. The devil has rebelled in heaven. Deep things that we cannot understand, which we cannot comprehend, and that is not necessary, congregation. And then Satan, the devil, that is now the work of the devil, when he was given to see Adam and Eve, perfect love, no cross words, given to walk with her God. Then in the way of revenge, because God was in the heavens, and then in the way of revenge, then he is sought to bring Adam and Eve to the greatest misery. And we have heard it out of Genesis 3, and young and old, the devil still works in the same way. Because how has the devil begun? We read, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Thus Eve and Satan has chosen his opportunity, waited till Eve was alone, has thought more likely to succeed to speak to Eve, because the Lord has made the covenant with Adam, of course, Eve included. And then the devil has tried to instill hard thoughts into the heart of Eve. Devil still works the same. Maybe succeeded much in this week. And young people, that the devil tries to tell you that the service of the Lord, that is such a hard service, then you may not do anything. So that's what the devil has said to Eve. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That was not true. Because Adam and Eve, they may eat of all the trees, except one, to prove to their God their love and their obedience. Thus then we hear, young people, that Satan still works the same way, that he tries to tell you that the service of the Lord, is a hard service, and then we may not enjoy anything, we may not do anything, we may do much, but we may not sin. And then the woman began to speak. She should have went to her head, because her head was her voice, but she has began to speak with the serpent, and young and old. When we start to argue with the devil, then be assured that we shall lose. Christ was also tempted by the devil in the wilderness when he was 100. And then Christ has said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the word of God. And then Satan has went further, called God a liar. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And then in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good, that's eye gate, and especially in our day with all the technology, then how much comes in that eye gate to tempt us, to lead us astray. Saw that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And then what was the next step? She took of the tree thereof and did eat, and gave also her husband. She did not want to be alone in the transgression. And then we read of Adam, and he did eat. The sin of breaking the covenant. And so all of mankind has been plunged into the deepest misery. Our third thought, the miserable incapability. Let us first sing Psalter 143, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Against thee only have I sinned, done evil in thy sight. Lord, in thy judgment thou art just, and in thy sentence right. And what follows, Psalter 143, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. the miserable incapability of man. We have heard out of Genesis 3 the bitter fruits. And Adam and Eve, who have hidden themselves, but the Lord has called them, "Where art thou?" And they have come from their hiding place with their fig leaves. And then the Lord has asked Adam, "What a bitter arrow must have been in the heart of Eve, the woman, which thou hast given me, she has given me to eat." Eve, the serpent, and then the devil was not examined, because for the devil there is no hope, no Savior. Their lot has been forever cast. And then we have heard of the consequences of our deep fall in Adam. And then the instructors, they have stated, hence our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. The guilt imputed from our covenanted Adam and the pollution which we inherit from our parents, dead in sins and trespasses, blind, deluded, unable, unwilling, enemies of God, of a Son, of free and sovereign grace. But now a few words about our last thought, that you may not go home so discouraged. All of self, there is reason to despair. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? We have lost the image of God, and the narrower sense, as our old fathers have spoken thereof, knowledge, holiness, and righteousness. But in the wider sense, then there are still a few remnants, and we are still rational creatures. And then concerning the free will of man, after our deep fall, then it needs to be understood correctly. We are still moral creatures, and many choices need to be made. Then we are still enabled to make a choice as a rational creature, to make it simple, to come to church or not, and therefore are fully accountable. But now concerning the salvation of our soul and the glory of God, then we have not a free will, because we are wholly corrupt and inclined to all evil. But now in this Lord's Day, lest souls should despair, oh, it is true, the instructors have answered according to the scriptures, whether we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness. Indeed, we are. Except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Why have the instructors placed that statement at the end of Lord's Day number 3 and not at the end of Lord's Day number 2? Are there souls that understand it? Are there souls that have experienced it by the leading and the instruction of the Holy Spirit? Oh, then it is so clear that the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, that they have been deeply taught by the Spirit of Christ and have learned the way that all our hopes are cut off, because in Lord's Day number 2, then the instructors were given to speak in the mirror of God's holy law of our actual sins. And when a soul becomes exercised therewith to experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the holiness and the righteousness of God, and that separation which is so bitter, what does such a soul then do? Ah, so bound up in the covenant of works, then there is that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, and more so in the beginning. Ah, then they hope, with the Lord's help and by His grace, to become more and more holy, and so to become well-pleasing to the Lord, although in that deeper uncovering becomes more and more hopeless. Ah, to do less sin and to become a greater sinner. But now, in Lord's Day 3, there is spoken of the root of the tree, that it is totally corrupt, that the sinner not only commits sin, but that he is nothing but a lump of sin, unclean, from the top of his head to his footsole. And when that may be experienced, no fruit from this tree forevermore, then the cry is born, then the sinner learns that from their side 'tis forever impossible, a wholly impossible possibility. But also a holy necessity, because it is a people that cannot miss the Lord. All their hopes are cut off. And to that end, the instructors at the end of this Lord's Day have stated, that is our only hope, young and old. Accept. We are regenerated by the Spirit of God. May the prayers be multiplied under the Lord's solemn callings, under the proclamation of law and gospel. The Lord may richly use it. Oh, we read in Ezekiel 37 verse 9 concerning dry and dead bones in that valley, no life, listless and lifeless. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon thee slain. A solemn week lies before us. On Tuesday, the mission board hopes to meet. Tuesday evening, a prayer service for the Senate, which hopes to meet on Wednesday and Thursday. May the Lord grant sires at the throne of grace for the welfare of Zion, and we are called upon to go to the cemetery in this week to bury a young daughter of 14 years old. The Lord remember the mourning families, all the mourning families in our midst, and may it please the Lord by His Spirit to grant that spiritual mourning on account of our sins and the need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us close. Lord, Thou was graciously given in other Lord's Day. We humbly ask Thee that we may receive another Lord's Day, have experienced it in the past week, death, so sudden and so unexpectedly, and then the need of that only comfort. We humbly beg of Thee that Thou may watch over us in the home, on the way, long journeys, short journeys, at school, at work, on the field, construction sites, in the factory. We are surrounded by so many dangers. Then by renewal, we commend unto Thee the meetings that have been planned. And, O Lord, do remember us. Be mindful of us when we hope to come up to Thy house to hear what Thou hast to say unto us, and then to go to the cemetery. Oh, come then with thy spirit and use it for young and old. Grant prayer for one another. Pardon us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 107, the first three stanzas. By end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail, and what follows. Psalter 107, the first three stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.